Welcome back to the Tanakh Study Center series on Sefer Yirmiyahu. In today's shiur, we're studying Perek Yud Zayin, Chapter 17. Our shiurim are in conjunction with the OU and its Yomi project, and sponsored with the help of the Cyprus Foundation. Chatat Yehuda k'tuva be'it barzel b'tziporon shamir. The sin of Yehuda is engraved with an iron pen. It's etched in with a fingernail made out of the hardest metal, which is used for engraving or cutting stones. Charusha uluach libam. It's graven upon the tablet of their hearts, v'lekarnot misbechotechem, and also on the horns of their altars. Yirmiyahu is describing how etched in the sins of Yehuda are. Recall, Yirmiyahu is trying to get the people to repent and do tshuva. But in order to do tshuva, there's a need to recognize what one's sin is. If someone thinks their sins are minor, a minor sin, a minor stain, a little water, a little scrubbing, we can take them out. But when something is engraved and etched in metal, that is not very easy to get rid of. And here, Yirmiyahu is employing this imagery of writing with metal tools, which are used by an engraver to make sure that something remains forever, and describing that as their sins being engraved on their hearts, meaning their ways are set, and it would be very, very hard for them to change. As we'll see in the next chapter, Yirmiyahu is still going to say it's possible to repent, but in order to repent, there's a need to realize how engraved their sins are. Therefore, he compares it to the engraving of the strongest tools of metal. Pasuk Bet. Just like a person remembers his children and thinks about them all the time, so too, that's how they view the altars to the other gods. Also the worship of the Asherah on every high tree. On the very high places. Once again, I think Yirmiyahu is using imagery from the book of Sefer Dvarim. Remember in the beginning of Perek Yud Bet in Sefer Dvarim, where we have a commandment to get rid of all the idol worship in the country. They were told in Pasuk Bet, Abeit Abduna Kol HaMekomot Asher Avdu Sham HaGoyim, we have to get rid of all the places that those other nations serve their gods. Al HaHarim HaRamim V'al HaGvaot V'tachat Kol Eitz Ranan V'nitatzem Et Mizbechotam V'shivartem Et Matzevotam V'asherem Tisrufum Be'esh V'psir Lehem Tegadeun V'ibaretem Et Shema Min HaMekom Ahu. We find in these words of Yirmiyahu, we have again Mizbechotam, Asherehem, Eitz Ranan, and other descriptions of these high places. It could be that Yirmiyahu is purposely using these words from Sefer Dvarim, because the next line in Sefer Dvarim is Lo Tasun Kein Lashem Elokechem. Don't do that to your God. Instead, Ki Emakom Asher Yivchar Hashem L'Shakim Shmo Sham. Instead, we begin a whole set of laws about the place that God has set aside to make His name known, better known as the Beit HaMikdash. In contrast to the Beit HaMikdash, which should be the place of their worship, that Mikdash is going to be destroyed because of their bad behavior, and hence, he uses the wording from Sefer Dvarim to describe all the gods that they're worshipping in the land. Pasuk Gimel, Harari b'sadeh, chelcha cho otzrotecha levazetim. The opening line of this pasuk, Harari, which refers to the mountains, according to Rashi, is referring to Yerushalayim, which is sitting high in a mountain surrounded by fields. Other parshanim, like the Mitzudot, claims it's talking about Am Yisrael is up on these mountains worshipping these gods. In either case, in the field, all of your produce and all of your wealth is going to be taken away by your enemies. As chelcha v'chol otzrotecha levazetein. Chayel, as usual, means material wealth. Otzrotecha are the things that you've been saving up. They're going to be looted. Biza, the word levaz, is looting. Your enemies are going to come and loot all of your belongings. B'motecha v'chatat b'chol gvolecha. And the reason for this is because of your sins in all of these high places and all the sins you've done throughout your borders. I'm going to have to kick you out or take you away from the nachala, from the inheritance that I've given you. Here the Navi uses the word v'shamatata to describe how they'll have to leave their land, but very similar to the word shmita, same meaning, where you leave your field and abandon it for a year. And then v'avareticha et oivecha, you're going to have to serve your enemies be'eretz asher lo yadata, in a land that you never saw before. Why is God doing this? God's saying, I've kindled my anger against you, and it will burn now forever. In contrast to this harsh rebuke and prediction of destruction, Yirmiyahu is going to say there's still a chance for tshuva if people return to God in the proper way. And he explains in Pasuk Hei, Kol Amar Adonai, Arur HaGever Asher Yiftach Ba'Adam V'Sam B'Sar Zero'o U'Min Adonai Yesur Libo. Yirmiyahu first says, cursed is a person who puts all of his trust in man and makes flesh and blood his own strength and whose heart departs from God. Pasuk Vav, What will this person be like? It'll be like a little lone tree in the desert, in an area where there's not much water. This tree will never see anything good come out of it. It'll live in a dry, parched place in the desert, in a salt land where no one can live in. I mean, a tree like that won't be able to do much good. It can't give fruit, won't be able to give shade. It'll almost be useless because there's not enough water to sustain it. On the other hand, someone who puts his trust in God will be compared to a tree which is strong and powerful and can give a lot of fruit. Pasuk Zayin, Brocha gever asher yiftach ba'Adonai, v'haya Adonai biftacho. Blessed is the person who puts his full trust in God. And what will he be compared to? Pasuk Chet, v'haya ke'et shatu amayim. Like we have in the first parak in Tehillim, he'll be like a tree planted on waters. In Tehillim it's apal ge'mayim, where waters of different rivers meet together, and we have an intense flow of water, and hence the tree grows large and strong. V'al yuvau yishalach shoshav. The yuvau is the source of the river. The shorashim are the roots of the tree. I mean, this tree planted where waters meet will be able to root itself strong with a constant supply of water. And therefore, v'lo yir'eh ki yavoh chom. It won't fear when a hot day comes, because it always has enough water, and it won't die. V'ya aleu ranan. All of its leaves will be strong and mighty. Even when there's a famine and there's no rain for a year, it won't worry because it still has a source of water from the river. And therefore, it will never stop giving fruit. Again, the imagery that Yirmiyahu uses here is right from the first parak in Tehillim, where he compares a human being to the tree, and the Torah that it's studying and its trust in God is compared to a source of water, and a tree which grows with lots and lots of water under its root, is able to give fruit all the time and doesn't have to worry when a strong wind comes and can sustain any type of trouble. On the other hand, someone who doesn't put their trust in God will be like a tree without any source of water, will not be able to give its fruit, and won't be able to withstand a strong wind. In that context, Yirmiyahu continues and explains what leads people here to sin. Pasuk Tet, Akov ha-lev mikol vanushu, the most deceitful of the parts of the body is going to be the heart. Va'anushu, it's almost incurable. Mi yida'ena, who knows how it works? The answer is simple. God understands the heart of man. Ani Adonai choker lev u'bochen kloyot. God says, I'm the one who understands the heart and is able to understand the reasoning of their kidneys. Kloyot and lev, heart and kidneys, is always used in Nach to describe where a person's feelings are and where he makes his decisions. V'letel ish kedrachav kifri malalav. Based on God's understanding of a person's heart, he knows what a person really feels and knows, and what his true intentions are. Based on that, God will punish man or reward man based on his deeds. Notice how the Nevi uses pre-malalav, the fruit of his actions. First, he's comparing man to a tree, and here his actions to the fruit. We have the very same idea in chapter 5 in Yishayahu with his famous Mashal HaKerem, where he compared the people of Yehuda to a vine, and acts of tzedek mishpat to the fruit that they give off. To explain another type of sin that the people are doing, he's going to compare their behavior in the financial area to people taking money that doesn't belong to them and hence becoming rich, and how all that wealth will be lost. Kore dagar velo yalad. A kore is a partridge type of a bird sitting on eggs. So this partridge sitting on these eggs, but eggs that he himself never hatched. And what usually happens is, as soon as those eggs are hatched, those birds go away and he has no connection to them. So even though he's sitting on something and he gathered them and he thinks that they're his, because he never really gave birth to them and he'll have no connection to them afterwards. And therefore, it's compared to ose osher v'lo v'mishpat, someone who amasses wealth but not doing it justly. What will happen to him? B'chatzi amav yezveno, after half of his days, he'll lose all of that wealth, u'bachrito yenaval, in the end of his days, he'll wither away, he'll have nothing. Now the word naval again is a word which is used for fruits and trees. When a tree withers and the leaves fall, the word for that in Hebrew is also naval. In that way, Yirmiyahu is showing a beautiful connection between these last two psukim and the previous psukim, where he compared man to a tree. In Pasuk Yud Bet, Yirmiyahu is going to take a break now and describe the throne of God. Pasuk Yud Bet, Kisei Chavod Morom Rishon Mekom Mikdashenu, the throne of glory, where God sits, referring most probably to the Beit HaMikdash. Morom Rishon, it's the highest place from the beginning. Might not be the highest altitude, but the loftiest place, as far as God's concerned, that is the place where God's resting in the Mikdash. what's the connection between this description and what we read before? It seems to be that when God is talking about that he's choker lev, he understands what's inside the heart of man, and hence he's able to give man what he deserves as far as reward and as far as punishment. The fact that God has a mikdash here down on earth is a symbol of that connection between man and God, and the fact that God knows what's going on down here on earth. It could be it's exactly this point that the people aren't willing to accept. They don't see the hand of God. They think God doesn't have the ability to see what man is doing, which is leading to all their sins and their whole attitude to God. And therefore, Yirmiyahu continues in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Mikvei Yisrael Adonai kol ozvecha yeboshu. The one who Am Yisrael should trust in is God, and anyone who leaves him will be ashamed. V'surei ba'aretz yikatevu. Those who leave God, lasur means to leave someone, those who leave God, they'll be written to land, meaning they're going to die, and they'll be buried deep under. Kiyazvu mekor mayim chayim et Adonai. They've left the source of fresh water, God himself. Now again, as Yirmiyahu mentioned before, Mikvei Yisrael is a play on words. It means on the one hand, the hope of Israel, Miloshen Tikvah, also Mikveh, Miloshen Mikveh Maim, a source of water, like he says in the end of the Pasuk. This beautifully connects to what Yirmiyahu described in the beginning, comparing man following Torah and keeping mitzvot, and putting his trust in God, to a tree growing on a source of water, who's able to give fruit and withstand all trouble. And therefore, when a person puts their trust in God, God, for them, is like a mikveh maim, a source of collected water, and hence he can put his hope in God, Miloshen Tikvah. So we see throughout these last several psukim, Yirmiyahu continues this imagery of a human being being like a tree, needing God as a source of water, and with that source of water, and with the right attitude, and understanding that God understands everything that he does, and will reward him or punish him based on his deeds, that understanding will be the only background through which the people would be able to do proper tshuva and be able to reverse this decree of destruction. After this section, Yirmiyahu is going to go again and complain about the false prophets who are planning to kill him and misleading the people. He opens with a prayer, Pasuk Yudalet, Rafa'eni Adonai ve'rafe. He asks God to heal him and let him be healed. Hoshi'eni vibashea. Save me and let him be saved. Kitilatiata. You're the one that he praises. Yirmiyahu is hoping that God will help him with his problems because he's the one who sings his glory. Why is he saying that? He'll explain now in Pasuk Tevav. Hine Hema, Omrim Alai, Ayedvar Adonai, Yavona. All of his colleagues and the people who don't like what he's saying are telling him, where's the word of God? Let it come. They're making fun of him. As you've noticed in the last several chapters, Yirmiyahu doesn't stop predicting terrible destruction. He's been saying it for years and it doesn't come. They're making fun of him already. He himself sounds like a broken record, and they begin to ridicule him because nothing's coming through. Therefore, Yirmiyahu is going to ask that God intervene and bring the punishment, of course, unless the people do tshuva. In Pasuk Tet Zayin, Yirmiyahu is coming to explain that he's not so happy about giving these predictions of destruction. He says, I was not so anxious to be your shepherd. And this day of woe, I did not want it. It's not something I want to happen. Ataya data. He tells God, you know that. I'm only saying things because you told me to say them. And whatever I say is what you're saying. And therefore, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Al tiyali lemechita. Don't allow me to be ruined. Machsiata. I put my trust in you. You're my refuge. Biyom ra'ah, on a bad day. Instead, Yevosha rodfai. Let those who chase me and persecute me, let they be ashamed. V'yal Yevosha ani. Don't let me be ashamed. Yichatu hema. Let them be dismayed. V'al echata ani. And don't let me be the bad one. Havi aleihem yom ra'ah. Bring upon them the day of evil. U'mishne shibaron shavrim. And let them be devastated time and time again. With this last prayer, Yirmiyahu once again asks God to punish his enemies and those who ridicule him, because he's afraid that those people are stopping the rest of the nation from doing proper tshuva. Pasuk Yutet begins a new topic in Yirmiyahu, something which doesn't happen too often. If you've noticed, most of Yirmiyahu, he's complaining either about bad ethical behavior or about idol worship. Now, for the first time, Yirmiyahu is going to complain about Chilul Shabbat. So this last section of the parak will be a discussion of how the people are being warned not to carry on Shabbat. Pasuk Yutet. Ko amar Adonai Eli. This was the word of God to me. Halach v'amarata b'shar b'nei ha'am asher yavo vo machi Yehuda v'asher yitzu vo uv'cho sharei Yerushalayim. God tells Yirmiyahu, stand in the gates of the city, the same gates where the kings go in and go out, and in the gates of all of Yerushalayim. V'amarta lehem. Tell them as follows. Shimu Dvar Adonai Macha Yehuda, V'chol Yehuda, V'chol Yoshvei Yerushalayim Habayim B'Shalayim Ela. He's addressing his words not only to the kings of Yehuda, but all the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, everyone trespassing these gates. Kol Mar Adonai, Yishamru B'Nafshotechem. God says, be very careful. V'al Tisu Masa B'Yom HaShabbat. Don't carry a burden on the day of Shabbat, and don't bring these goods to the gates of Yerushalayim. Is the Navi only talking about carrying, like Chotza'ah from Masechet Shabbat, or is he talking about, or is he specifically referring to carrying goods and business? Then we have an argument among the commentators. Either way, it's a case of Chilul Shabbat. It's a case of desecrating the Sabbath day. Pasuk Chabet, verse 22, V'lo totziu masa mibatechem b'yom haShabbat. Not only don't bring goods in and out of the city, also don't bring goods from your houses into the marketplace on Shabbat. V'chol melacha lo tasu. Don't do any work. V'kidashtem et yom haShabbat. Make Shabbat holy. Kasher tzivit et avotechem. Like God commanded your forefathers in the Torah. What happened? Pasuk Chavgimu, V'lo shamu. They didn't obey. V'lo hitu et uznam. They didn't let their ears listen. They stiffened their neck. They didn't listen, nor did they take this rebuke. Then God promises them, if they'll listen, this in itself might be able to prevent destruction. We're going to see once again how Yirmiyahu is saying it's possible to repent if they're willing to follow God properly. Pasuk Chavdalan. But yeah, if you do listen to me, Numa Adonai, Livoti Havimatsa Beshare Ha'irazot, if you agree not to bring goods into the gates of the city, B'yom HaShabbat, Ula Kadeshit Yom HaShabbat Livoti Asot Bo Chom Lacha, if you make Shabbat holy and sanctify it, not to do any work, then Pasach Hafei, Uva'u Veshare Ha'irazot Melachim Vesarim Yashim HaKisei David, then these same gates which now you're bringing back, then these same gates will have the kings of Yehuda and its ministers walking, prospering in an ideal manner, rochvim berechev u'susim, riding horses and chariots in and out of the city. Again, a sign of wealth and success. Hema, not only the kings, v'sareim, ish Yehuda v'yashvei Yerushalayim v'yashvei ha'ir hazot la'olam. The city can remain prosperous and powerful and can remain forever if you follow the laws of Shabbat. ובאו מהרי יהודה ומסביבות ירושלים ומארץ בנימין ומן השפלה ומן ההר ומן הנגב מביאים עולה וזבח מנחה ולבונה ומביאי תודה בית אדוני. Then these same gates will be bustling with people traveling in and out of Yerushalayim, but also people bringing from all the areas of Israel offerings to Yerushalayim. Look at the names of the places they're coming from Binyamin, a little north to Yerushalayim, ומן השפלה, from the lowlands, Uminahar from the mountain range, Uminanegev from the south. A beautiful description of the different geographic areas that surround Yerushalayim. What would they be doing? They'll be bringing an olah and a zevach. They'll be bringing offerings to God, and a mincha and levona, and a korban todah, all of them to the house of God. All the different categories of korbanot, which are voluntary. On the other hand, Pasuk Chaf Zayin, and this is the end of the chapter, Vim lo tishmu elai, if you don't obey me, lekadesh et yom haShabbat, ulevoti seit masah, if you don't sanctify the Sabbath day and you continue to bring your goods in and out of the gates of Yerushalayim on Shabbat, then what will happen? Instead of these gates being the site of a bustling city and prosperity and traffic, instead, fire will burn these gates. All the palaces of Yerushalayim will be consumed by fire, and that fire will not be quenched. Anyone who is familiar with the Nevot of Amos, you recall that Amos uses very similar wording when he describes the destruction of all the different nations that God's going to punish when Ashur comes in. And in the end of each punishment, we have a very similar phrase, Vishlachti Esh b'chomat tzor v'chla v'notea, sending fire to the gates of the cities and consuming its palaces. That's mentioned four or five times in the Nevot of Amos on the different nations. Yirmiyahu is using this very same wording and imagery to describe how Yerushalayim will be destroyed, just like his predecessor, Amos, 100 years earlier, had described destruction by Ashur That's how Yirmiyahu now is going to describe the destruction that will come by Bavel on God's capital city, Yerushalayim.